I mentioned that there are two saints being honored today, Saint Blaise and Saint Ansgar. And as usually happens, when there are two, when there's more than one saint on a day, one of them gets the most attention, and the other one gets kind of forgotten. Next week we're going to be celebrating the feast of my good friend Saint Jerome Emiliani, but he's being eclipsed now by Saint Josephine Bakhita, so that's the way it is. And she's also a great saint. Today we honor Saint Blaise, and Blaise is much more popular, mostly because of the blessing of the throats. And who doesn't want their throat blessed? Everybody wants the blessing of the throats. We'll be doing that in a modified way after the prayers of the faithful. But this Saint Ansgar, the other saint, who was a great missionary, apostle of the north, they call him, apostle to the Scandinavian countries. There's something about him that caught my eye. If you saw in the note about his life in the Anuvam Way, the very end of the note, it says this: after his death in 865, Sweden abandoned Christianity until the coming of missionaries more than a century later. So Sweden abandoned Christianity. So all his efforts, it was after his death, so he didn't see it happen. But as we know from the lives of saints, very often they encounter failure, or they experience failure. In this case, the collapse of all Saint Ansgar's work was complete. That was as if he had scattered seeds on a footpath and nothing came of it. Does that mean that Ansgar was a failure? No, because he did what God sent him to do. The seeds he planted maybe didn't sprout for more than 100 years later, but he himself reigns in glory. He's a saint. Now, I know there's no great devotion to Ansgar nowadays, and I don't even know why he's on the calendar. Most people never even heard of him. But I think he's a good example to us of how it works when we are dedicated to the kingdom of God. We don't necessarily see fruit. We can very easily see failure. And this is important to keep in mind, because the one who determines the outcome is not us. It all depends on God. In today's gospel, Jesus sends out the 12. He sends them out with a great mission, with great authority, but with very little to rely on. Why? Because it doesn't depend on them. Yes, they have a lot to do and they should work hard, but the work is much bigger than they are, and it will not be completed. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, he says, you won't even reach all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. He tells them, you know, work hard, go out there, proclaim, go into the whole world and proclaim the good news, but don't think that you're the savior of the world. Even though you're sent into the whole world, your part is limited, because it's really God's work. So this is, I think, important for us. We are all sent out into the world. In fact, we're sent into the whole world. But the part of the world that we will actually affect is very small. We will probably never get to the Scandinavian countries. We might not even get out of our own neighborhood. But that's okay, because that's up to God. We read in the first reading about the death of King David. David establishes Solomon as his successor. But reading about David's death brings to mind that there were some things he didn't finish. I mean, he got to the end of his life, and he did as much as he could. He was an anointed leader. He was a great man. He had his weaknesses and falls, as we've heard. But he was a man after the Lord's own heart, and yet he didn't build the temple. He didn't accomplish that. That was left to the next generation, Solomon. It reminds me of Moses, remember? And Moses' death is also described in the scriptures. When Moses gets to the end of his life, he's allowed to look over the river. You get up on the mountaintop and look at that promised land, and the Lord says, well, you're not going there. You're going to die on this side. So Moses, even though his whole life was dedicated to freedom from Egypt and journeying to the promised land, he didn't get there. David, even though his whole life was dedicated to God, establishing the kingdom, he didn't build the temple. The apostles, even though they were sent into the whole world and to proclaim the kingdom, they didn't reach everywhere before they died. Ansgar, even though he was the great apostle to the northern countries, he didn't finish the work of evangelization. This is a part of the reality of our situation, and it has a positive element to it, because it frees us from the idea that we have to do everything and that we have to be successful at everything. I know many parents especially, who feel like they have not done enough for their children, or they have not been successful, or there's something incomplete about their parenting, and they feel burdened by this. Well, naturally, they're not perfect, and no one's perfect, and no one has done everything perfectly, but it's not right to put on ourselves burdens that the Lord doesn't put on us. We are responsible for building the kingdom. We are responsible for the raising of our children and handing on the faith and all the elements of building up the kingdom. But we can't do it all. So we shouldn't think that we are the saviors of the world. We are simply his missionaries, his representatives. And our work is to work hard. Dedicate ourselves 100% to the will of God, and be willing to sacrifice even our life, as St. Blaise did, for the kingdom, but without the idea that that's the end, that finishes the whole job, and that's up to God. So as we reflect on these readings, the sending out of the apostles and the death of David, keep this perspective. Part of the reason why this is striking to me, I've been renewing my study of St. Joseph lately. We're going to start a new series today on St. Joseph, so I'm calling back to mind some of the great lessons we learned from St. Joseph. And St. Joseph is an example of this too. I mean, he dies before Jesus even starts his public ministry. He just disappears, and he's basically in the background, if not completely forgotten, for centuries. And that's how God worked it out. And Joseph doesn't mind, because he never thought he was that important anyway. I mean, he knew his task was important, but he didn't think he was. Joseph is connected to this passage about David, because David received the promise that his descendants would always reign, that one of his descendants would always be on the throne. Well, the only one that David can see will be on the throne is Solomon. He had lots of other sons. David had lots of sons, but Solomon, who wasn't the firstborn, was the one chosen. So he becomes the king. But as the Davidic line continues through history, it kind of fades out. We don't know all the descendants of David, until we get to Joseph, and we know that Joseph is from the house of David. And we know that Joseph's son, that's Jesus, is the fulfillment of this promise. So David reminds Solomon that this is the promise of the Lord, and we who know the bigger picture realize, well, it's not going to be the way David and Solomon think about it, that they're always going to be in temporal power. What they're speaking about is something that God has in mind, they haven't even thought of, that the God himself will come, become man, and become part of their line and reign forever. And he's the one who accomplishes the whole task. So David, Solomon, the apostles, Ansgar, Joseph, and us, we're all part of the picture, and we have a very specific and important part. That's what we should do. But the big picture is Jesus Christ. He establishes the kingdom, he reigns, and insofar as we cooperate with him, we reign with him.